Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of... Oh, wait a minute. No, sorry, we're not podcasting and playing actual play dice. We are talking to content creators, a podcaster in her own right, Rachel, the mastermind from Epic Endings Podcast.
Yes.
And I personally like this one because she has a very original idea in a world filled with 5th edition podcasts, trouncing around Forgotten Realms 100 years after I know it. Here's a lady who's taken the idea to single out each player by themselves, get them alone in front of a microphone, make them 20th level to their joy, and then run them through solo adventures from low level up, bring them out of retirement until they die. Now, this is a very unique idea for a podcast, and we are going to delve into it today on
Attack of Opportunity.
Today, we are speaking with Rachel Schwarzfeger. So I'm saying it really fast I get it. Is that right, Rachel?
I mean, you're not adding extra letters, so.
And whereabouts are you?
I'm located in Central Florida, Orlando. Orlando.
Orlando. Yeah. Oh. Just got through a hurricane and the new one's coming, but that never stops gaming. The game must go on. So the first question we always like to ask our guests is, when did you first know you were a geek, a gamer, a nerd, a fantasy, sci-fi, superhero, spy, genre, horror, etc.? One of us.
Probably in, I would say, I think it was middle school. I want to say around seventh grade, sixth or seventh grade. I actually read The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings and fell in love with fantasy. Also,
was that school material at the time?
No, that was, this looks that interesting.
Oh, you snuck it under the desk, kind of?
Oh, no, there's no sneaking. There was proudly reading it, because if I wasn't reading, I was getting in trouble. So I read those books. Oddly enough, I think it was the year after I read the books, maybe the same year, is when the first Harry Potter also came out. I read that. I hated it.
Oh.
Unpopular opinion, but I really didn't like it. I read it, and I thought it was annoying. I tried reading the second one, also did not like it. Tried reading the third one, got halfway through and gave up. So that's a series I cannot get into. All the people that love it, you guys are awesome, but it's not my jam.
That's fine. My Lord of the Rings was actually Dragonlance novels by Tracy Hickman, Margaret Weis that I read first. So then when I went to read Lord of the Rings later, when I was about 19, it was a really hard read for me. And I literally kept picking the book up and putting it down. And everyone, you know, the Lord of the Rings is the Bible of, you know, I'm so sorry, Skid Meyer, that I do like Lord of the Rings. You know, just the book was a little hard to get through.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair.
But so you're not alone. They'll throw cabbages at both of us now.
Yay, I like cabbage.
On the street. It's the best thing in Avatar, the entire animated series, was the cabbage vendor that they kept rolling over.
Yes. Every episode.
But we digress. So, middle school, heading you off into geekdom. Fast forward to now, because they want to know why we have you here, why we've grabbed you by the microphone and said, please come talk to us. You are a content creator and you have a podcast up on Podbean, as well as...
It's pretty much on everything you can find podcasts on, to my knowledge. If there's one that's not, then you can let me know and I will add it. But as far as I know, we're on Stitcher. At SoundCloud, we're not on because I host on Podbean. But Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, Spotify, most of the major ones, I think you can find us or get a hit on us at least and grab it from there.
Easy enough to find. Yep. She's out there.
I'm out there. So fun fact.
You are the mastermind behind the Epic Endings podcast. Sorry.
So real quick, I actually am part of two podcasts that I'm quote unquote the mastermind. Epic Endings.
Which one came first?
Technically the other one. D&D Rules is Written, or D&D Raw, which you can also find in the same places. That one came first, but it wasn't at the time kind of what exactly I wanted to be doing, which is why I spun off and kind of started the Epic Endings one, which I wanted to be doing.
Are you still doing the other one?
Oh yeah, I'm still doing the other one. It's just, I kind of juggle the two. The other one, I'm now just a co-host and player, as opposed to running the social media and doing the editing and everything else in between. I'm kind of just a player in the actual play stuff and a co-host for the rules discussions, where we sit around and argue about D&D rules, which sounds all really boring, but it's a lot of fun.
Just to be clear for anyone that accidentally found this podcast, we are content creators, and it is a large geeky neighborhood, and within it is a genre of podcasting. And within that, there is what they call an actual play podcast, where people will sit down and play all kinds of either strategy or tabletop RPGs. ourselves. We are deep into Star Wars Saga. We play Pathfinder RPG. We're going to be playing Starfinders. Rachel plays 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, the new evolution and the hottest thing in the market right now. Are both of those actual play 5e podcasts?
Yes, they are. Eventually, Epic Endings may take a turn in some other games, but at the moment, they're both just 5th edition.
Okay. So tell us about your latest creation, this idea of singling out players a la Solo and giving them the gift, the Monty Hall DMism of 20th level, and then rocking them to their core, telling them, well, your death is inevitable, and see how far you get on your own.
So that came about because I actually, one of our kind of introduction episodes that we did, where it was just me and the DM for Rules as Written, I really liked the one-on-one aspect. I thought it was a really great, unique chance to really role play, and that sometimes gets lost when there's four or five people around the table, either because of time constraints, because you want to push the story forward, or combat takes over, or in my case, I forget. You know, somebody will be talking and I want to be respectful and let them finish out what they're saying. Sometimes that scene between that NPC and that player can take a little bit, and I forget that I wanted to say something, so we just move on.
No, I totally get it. My wife's a gamer girl, and she is executive producer to the Rollmongers brand, but she has very little to do with our cast of 11 because she has a solo game with me, and that's it. I've spoiled her. There is no, you know, I might be able to dig her out for Halloween special, but no, I totally understand where you're going with it. That one-on-one with the DM, how the game you know, meshes. Until you run into a multiple faceted problem solving, you know, in a game as a DM, when you're got your player, do you try to avoid a situation where they've got to stick a toe in a door jam over here and plug the hole with the gas coming out the other corner? Like all those team building things that four players in a dungeon, how do you deal with that?
So we haven't come into too much of that yet, since they are still relatively low levels. As far as what we're recording and playing, it is going up progressively harder. So the first story I ran was actually the Justice Fist, and it's a module I found on the DM's Guild. And basically, it's a first level story written for 4 to 5 characters of first level. Shouldn't take more than, you know, 5 hours kind of thing. And I just plopped this level 20 character in and said, do your thing. We'll see how it goes. As far as like multifaceted things, they are level 20. Most of them have things like Unseen Servant or other spells or abilities that they might be able to use. That I'm basically trying to run these modules as they've been written by their creators. I think there's only one much higher level that either they're going to have to get super, super, super creative, or I'm going to have to bend a few of the rules. But for the most part, I'm trying to run them as true to how they've been written as possible. So we'll see.
So if you do manage to, you know, DM to DM, score an early death of a player, are they out? Is this like a battle royale where we're down to 3 in the podcast, we're down to 2 in the podcast, we're down to 1, and Bob the Sorcerer for the win? Is that how this is going to play out, or do they just instantly make
I it think it will depend on, so because it's, originally when I played this, I didn't think first level would take more than a couple hours. It took each player well over 5 hours per player to get through it. So that's 5 episodes when I thought it was going to take 2 episodes per player. So I've got like exponentially more content than I thought I would have. So I think it's just when they die, we'll address that subject and cross that bridge. And hey, if you want to reroll a new character, or if you want to play an NPC that maybe joins another character for some later episodes, or it'll just be kind of up in the air to see where it goes. I think we haven't really discussed when your character dies.
Yes, well, this is a new podcast. How many episodes have you got up on Podbean right now?
Currently, we are around, I think, 43 just went live this week.
Yeah, so you're really just getting going.
Yeah.
How long have you been podcasting, like, between the two? How long have you been doing this?
Between these two, about 2.5 years.
Yeah. And how did you initially get into it? Like there's the 99% that just like, yes, we love to game, and they have their buddies and their table, or they use roll20.net like we do, where you have to like find people, the strangers, but hey, I got two buddies and you play. And then there's that evolution to the 1% where like, I want to be a content creator, and you're like, I'm going to leave a legacy, and you start doing stuff, and then it just becomes like a second job, and it starts threatening marriages and work and debt. I'm sorry. That's just me.
That's just you. That's you.
No, that's everybody. Any content creator, no time. One of my favorite things I love about talking when I reach out to content creators is somewhere in the conversation where I'm saying, you know, I've looked at some of your stuff, you know, they instantly go, oh, really? How much? Well, just a bit, because I have no time.
You have no time.
And then you say, have you looked at our stuff? And they're like, oh yeah, we kind of looked at, you know, it's the same thing. It is. Yep. But it's a labor of love. It definitely mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
But what was that turning point for you? What made you go sort of like, you know, gamers buy their first set of dice. It's a proud moment. What makes you as a podcaster to put down the headset that you already had from a PC and pick up an actual podcasting mic?
So I have a little bit of a different, probably, than either of the two described variations. I've been tabletop gaming for almost 14 years. And so I've always been around it. I've played, you know, Star Wars, D&D 3.5, 4, 5, freaking Legend of Five Rings, Dragon Age. So I've played like a smattering of them. I actually got started in podcasting on another podcast, which I would prefer not to speak about because we had a falling out. But I got started there. So that's why I got the setup. Things kind of fell out through there. So I left the show. We wound up, you know, I had the stuff. I talked to my friends who we have a face-to-face game. And after each session, basically face-to-face session, we would always spend maybe 30 to 45 minutes minimum around the table arguing about various rules that had come up during the session. So we'd be like, well, if we'd done this, this, and this, this is the wording, you know, it could have gone this way. And our DM's like, yes, it could have gone that way, but I ruled this way. And we're like, no, we understand. But would you have allowed possibly this outcome? You know, and just kind of throwing around spitball different ideas that could have come about, the what ifs. That turned into four of us going, we all DM, we all argue about the rules. Let's make this a show because we're weird. So we turned that into a show. We sat around, this was the setup, you know, such and such was doing this, this, and this. This is the spells we used and implemented. This is how it worked, but this is how it could have gone. And then we argue about different rules. We talk about basically D&D 5e rules, how we've homebrewed them, how they should be changed, or, you know, how we feel they could be changed, how we can circumvent them, how there's loopholes, just, you know, kind of hashing it out. And then that kind of spiraled into bringing guests on and doing interviews with them, as well as the rules discussions, which then turned into actual play. And then that leads us into epic ending starting.
Oh. Now that rule discussion, that picking apart of, I wouldn't say fun, like it's kind of a genre in itself. I've seen a lot of, like, you know, my podcast or my content on YouTube is about the exploration and usually comes with advice. We've really reached out to, see if I can get his name right, Petreg Filipovic, yeah, I'll just say it really fast, Crafty from Crafty Tabletop Stories on YouTube. And he has an interview coming up. Oh, wait a minute. No, I think he's just coming in the door right now. Hey, Crafty.
Hello there.
We just Rachel in the middle of our interview before you photobombed it, as it were, talking about something that's in your league, the discussion of rules, the discussion of, you know, this is what we did, and the follow-up, which draws your audience and her other podcast, how it could have been, what you possibly could do, you know, the advice type of thing. But Crafty, sit down on the couch, behave yourself. He's early.
Have a coffee.
Have a coffee. Back to Rachel. No, our studio is actually virtual. So we're talking today on Zoom using Zencastr and OBS. Something that hit me up, I found very strange, was fans on subreddit said, no one shares their process. No one says, I use this mic. This is how I do it. Like it's some kind of trade secret. But another podcaster I was recently speaking with, from the Mummy's Mask Pathfinder podcast, Find the Path, a great DM, plays with his wife and friends and family and a half female crew. They're good fun. And they got to Mummy's Mask before I did. Damn them, but I love them.
but you're not,
he,
you're not
he
bitter.
Hit me with it's some fine. Strong advice that a rising tide will lift all mm-hmm. ships. And it brought me back to that moment where somebody was asking me my process. I'm like, well, you know, we did this. And some people record Audacity at home. I use OBS and back it up with Zencastr and look for the better audio in both. And we're always trying to upgrade mics. You know, we went from headsets to UBS. And now some of us actually have Phantom Power, as it's called, you know, mics that take XLR cables and actually run through a little volt doohickey to get that cleaner sound. Sounds like crap until you edit it, but then it's so much cleaner. All these things in the community. So here at Attack of Opportunity, the reason we had you know, Crafty jump in or whatever is to expand any point we make. We also want to include not just our friends, but, you know, the other people that are not, have made it too big to talk to us, to give us the time of day, to give you guys a little boost. Which brings us to my next question, Rachel. While you were hammering away with this podcast, creating content for love, for debt, because let's be honest, unless you're big, there's no money in this. It just sucks up all your money. What do you do for a living?
So I actually have an interesting job. I work for a local nonprofit organization here in Orlando, and I essentially get to play D&D and Warhammer with kids. I get to teach them how to be storytellers, how to grow those soft skills that they don't teach in school, like leadership, communication, social emotional skills that aren't tangible in a classroom through gaming. So we focus on playing a lot of cooperative and collaborative board games, storytelling games, strategic thinking games, that type of stuff, to kind of put them in not only a safe place to play, but a place that touches on those other skills that not everybody is being taught. So
you literally get to be the big brother, big sister, uber geek mentor.
Yes. Yes. I get to.
For money.
Yeah. For money. It's not a lot of money, but I love it.
I hate you so much right now.
So like my programs we do after school, and it starts with homework help. They come in. I actually work with a lot of at-risk youth. So they come in, they have their homework. I help them with it, or I push them to try to do it. You know, hey, do 2 pages and I'll give you a lollipop. Bribes work great with kids. And then from there we get to break out D&D, or we have Warhammer paint and play, and we're now running a Warhammer kill team program. So we're teaching them, you know, this is Warhammer, this is what it does, like you create these little dudes and then you fight each other, and you know, we get to teach them artistic.
I could see that, like being creative all up in your head. There's the theater of the mind. There's Rachel at the table with these little kids, you know, like all the little Disney ruffians, and you know, you're bribing them with candy. I couldn't do that job. I'm a 6'2" white guy, and I was like, here, do this for me and I'll give you candy. That just never plays out well.
You'd be surprised. They like the strangest things sometimes.
You want to see my dice? I got something in a bag here for you. You want to touch these? No,
it's definitely spoiled me for gaming, because like just bringing in a new player has its own fun kind of breaks, you could say, because they're not going to question you on all the rules. They're not going to, you know, they're in it to learn. So it's a great teaching moment. You can be like, okay, this is the rule, how it's written. This is how I'm going to let you play it, because you described really well though. You know, so I let them do crazy things that there's nothing in the book for. You know, one kid's like, I want to be like Batman. I want to like climb up the wall and then swing down through the window. I'm like, it's a thatch roof. Like you're going to fall. Okay. All right. Give me like 2 dex checks. Sure. Well, just give me a dexterity check. And they're like, they roll, and I set the DC stupid low, and they roll, you know, 10, and they're like 10.
Yeah, no, that's great. Know? It's processed through encouragement, because the worst thing a DM can say is, no, you can't do that. It's like, well, there is a way, and let's explore this way that you could possibly do it together. And yay, you're 8. You fell on your face in the mud, and the others mocked you and fell. Okay, we're not going to go there. But no, I totally get it. And this doesn't spoil you for your home game. Like, this isn't the old gynecologist joke where, you know, a gynecologist comes home from work, and then there's the wife in the little negligee, and he's like, honey, if I see one more. You D&D all day with kids, and then you like you play with adults, and it's like, oh, you guys are worse. I don't want to play with you. That doesn't happen.
I wouldn't say it ruins it. It just it's night and day differences. Adults take a lot more analytical approach, like kind of taking what rules are available and how can I make them work. Whereas kids say, what do I want to do? And then I apply the rules. So kids come at it with a blank slate, and they're like, I want to do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, there's nothing for that. Okay, give me a dex check. You know, it normally comes down to like dex, charisma, or wisdom, to be honest. Unless they're throwing something, then strength. So
No, that's great.
I make it as simple as possible.
Now break this down. They're learning math. They're learning social skills. They're building confidence. Mm-hmm. And they get to be Batman. I mean, there's no downside to this, right? And they get a lollipop from a nice lady. And maybe 2 pages
of homework.
Mostly nice
when I'm not yelling at them.
I don't see a downside to this.
Yeah.
No, actually, another friend of the podcast is Facebook's Ask a Pathfinder, Michael Kasevin, out of Australia. And he does the same thing you do. He's the only other person I've met that does what you do. Is he works for Youth Center, and he gets to play D&D with the young all day long. And, you know, he just wants to game more.
Yep.
And you can check him out on Facebook and on YouTube now, making videos, askapathfinder.com. An amazing bloke, friend of the podcast. And now we have two people working with kids. And that's great. And I'm sure there's more of you out there. But I would put that at the top of my page and my brand. I work with children, so I can put up with you. Here's my podcast. I work with kids all day. If they could do it, why can't my players do it? You know, I have a thing with a 15-point buy, so that there's none of these dice rolls that I rolled at home, kind of ongoing jokes. So guys, 15-point buy. The pre-gens can survive this adventure with a 15 point buy, and you're going to pick better gear and better feats. You know, so can you.
So can you. Yeah, I have to say, they do, almost every time we play with them, there is something completely unexpected. Them will say, you know, oh, you're having this really important meeting with like the leader of the kobold tribe that you were deep in the heart of their lands, and they could all just seriously wipe you out right now because there's two of you and like 50 of them. And he, you know, after they get the information they want, and she's tolerated them basically and is like, you may go now. He's like, I want to challenge her to a dance off. I'm sorry, you want to run that by me again, Smalls? He's like, I want to challenge her to a dance off. And, you know, his buddy's looking at him with the, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, real quick, this is in character. He's like, yeah, this is totally in character. I'm like, you're a barbarian. He's like, yep. I'm going to challenge her. I'm like, all right. Oh,
thank you, Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's like, yeah. So I look at his friend who's a rogue, but he does have some musical instruments. I'm like, are you going to assist? You can help him or you can hurt him in this instance. He's like, I'm like, you have musical instruments. If you play, you can even it out. You can assist and make him get advantage on his checks with his dance off, or you can play horribly if you roll really bad. And you are basically playing really garbage music and he's having a hard time. He's like, yeah, I'm playing. I'm totally playing. I'm getting in on this. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Do it.
Oh, that is so awesome. Yeah. I don't have any questions for you. I think we're just going to, I'm going to dig up some awesome, you know, dance off music for our outro here. You feel that?
I'm wiggling.
Yeah, there you go. We've been talking to Rachel's, Swordfinger, I'm going to say it real fast, from the Epic Endings podcast, 5th edition actual play podcast. You can find her on Podbean and across the internet. Look them up on Facebook, look them up on Twitter. Wonderful people putting out original content in a sea of amateur, thrown up off the table, actual play podcasts. Here at Rollmongers, we definitely recommend the unique angle of Rachel and her 20th level solo adventure players that have to take on little problems that you know are just going to grow to really big problems in the end. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Oh, it's been awesome on this end. Thank you so much.